This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad, wa man wala, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Been wanting to put this together for a long time and hope now to add it as supplemental pieces of information that will accompany our explanation of the waraqat, 61 lessons. The issue in front of us now is one that has sort of permeated the framing of the masses of English-speaking Muslims, the framing of their relationship with scholars of fiqh, the scholars of sharia. What we find oftentimes, even amongst people who are very religious, is an animosity directed at the scholars of fiqh and the scholars of sharia for a number of reasons, but this one in particular, because they have noted that taqleed of scholars is forbidden. Where did this come from, this idea, and where did it originate from in its contemporary context can largely be found in one text written by one respected scholar who wasn't Sunni. That is the Imam Shawkani, rahimahullah, in his book, Al-Qawlu Al-Mufid Fil-Ijtihadi Wa Taqleed. I mentioned it in our lessons. So what I wanted to do now is share an essay, a part of actually a book written by Sheikh Muhammad Husseinain Makhlouf. I'm going to summarize what he's saying. I've translated it, I hope, to actually issue this text as a supplemental study text to our students at Swiss who are studying to become muftis or studying to become academics within the Islamic context of Islamic law. Students of Sharia, serious students. He says, Imam Shawkani, and notice how Imam Sheikh Makhlouf, who died in 1936, incredible scholar, organized the Azhar Library as it's known today. Son also was a great scholar, was a mufti. Sheikh Makhlouf, Allah yarhamu, he uses words like imam, alama. We don't have to destroy people to build our ideas. This is one of the common mistakes I see, especially people on YouTube. They have to destroy people to build ideas. It can be critical, but we don't have to destroy people. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba about that drunk man, like, don't help shaitan overcome your brother. Like, don't destroy him. So why is there this need to destroy someone to help me build my idea? If my idea is strong, I can build it on its own. And be respectful. So he says, Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah states, the methodology of the predecessors, the Salaf, is that lay people will come to them and ask them for rulings, and they will only issue rulings mentioning Qala Allah, Qala Rasulullah. They will say, Allah said this, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Now go back to those definitions of taqleed that I gave you, where Imam al-Haramayn says, Qabulu qawl. Qabul qawl al-ghayri bila hujja ay an yadhkuraha. To accept the opinion of a person without a proof, that's mentioned. That's mentioned, so there's proof there. In another definition, he says, قَبُولُ قَوْلِ الْغَيْرِ وَأَنْتَ لَا تَدْرِي مِنْ أَيْنَ جَاءَ هَذَا الْقَوْلِ. To accept the opinion of a scholar, but you don't know where, like how they came about giving you the answer, so it's not mentioned. So why would Imam al-Haramayn do that, who precedes Shawkani by centuries? He's saying, look, sometimes they may issue an answer and not mention an evidence. Sometimes they may issue an answer and they don't mention the evidence because somebody can't understand it. But there is evidence. Pay attention. The hujjah, the dalil, mawjood. Shawkani says, no, every time the Salaf gave answers, قال لا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. What about Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab رضي الله عنه, when he encouraged Abu Bakr to make tadween of the mushaf, to make the mushaf, did he bring dalil? So the first point is that contradicts what Ash-Shawkani is saying, the historical record that we have, numerous narrations where the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam issued rulings with or without mentioning the evidence, with or without saying qala Allah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they were understood to be the carriers of that knowledge. That's very important. because just as they are understood to be the carriers of that knowledge then, we understand the scholars of fiqh al-sharia to be the carriers of that knowledge now. That's why we have the axiom. Al-a'imma lil-awam kal-nusus lil-mujtahideen wa lil-ulama, that the scholars to the people are like the sacred text are to the scholars. And what's the variable? Knowledge. And then Imam Shawkani does something very important. He defines taqleed. He says, it's page 33 in Qawlul Mufid fil Ijtihadi wa Taqleed. He says, taqleed is acting upon someone else's opinion without there being evidence. There's no evidence at all. Or acting on an opinion without a foundation. Bidun tadlil wa ta'sir. He's correct here. But what he doesn't tell you, I don't think he did this with a negative intent, of course. But the definition that he's using, it's sloppy. He's taking a definition which the scholars of Ahl Sunnah agree this type of taqlid is not allowed. It's not allowed to make taqlid of anyone if there's no evidence. That means two things. Number one, to make taqlid of an ignorant person. That's a sin. Number two, to make taqlid of someone and we believe that that person is not qualified. So they don't have the ability to have the evidence. Or to follow, third, a scholar in something which is clearly haram or forbidden. So taqlid is acting upon someone else's opinion without evidence, or acting, accepting an opinion without a foundation. Scholars of Ahl Sunnah agree that's not allowed. But what he does is he takes this definition, which scholars of Ahl Sunnah agree is, yeah, you're right, that's not allowed, and applies that to examples where taqlid is fard. Because taqlid of a non-trained person, of someone who has training, and the presumption is that person, because they have training, they are ambassadors of the evidence, we follow them. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That's why Sheikh Makhlouf, he says, Sunni jurists and legal theorists, in contrast to Shawkani's claim, divide taqlid into two types. He only presents one very myopic, restrictive definition of taqlid, which we all agree upon is not allowed. Books of Usul al-Fiqh, go and read them, and applies that to areas where taqlid is obligatory. And so you see, it's like inverted. That's why Sheikh earlier, he says, Imam Shawkani's logic is sort of blurry, it's not clear, and it's confusing, and it sort of inverts everything on its head because it takes poison and applies it to like juice. That's poison, that's juice. That's not allowed, that's allowed. That's obligatory, that's forbidden. So the Sheikh, he says, Sunni legal theorists, in contrast to Imam Shawkani's claim, divide taqlid into two types. Imam al-Ghazali mentions this in al-Mustasfa, al-Razi mentions this in Mahsul, al-Baydawi briefly alludes to it in al-Minhaj, al-Subki in Jama' Jawami' talks about it a lot. You can go to hatta al-Mutawwalat, you'll find discussions about this in those books. Number one is acting upon someone or a scholar's opinion and no evidence exists. This is the forbidden type of taqlid, which Shawkani mentioned earlier, rahimahullah. Number two, acting upon scholars' opinion without fully understanding their evidence or hearing it from them. This is the obligatory taqlid, type of taqlid for the one that doesn't have knowledge. That's why Imam Harami says, بِلَا حُجَّ أَن يَذْكُرَهَا وَأَنْتَ لَا تَدْرِي مِنْ أَيْنَ أَتَى هَذَا الْفَتْوَى. And you don't know like how this happened. Because oftentimes people say, what if I ask a scholar and they're wrong? That's not your problem. Your obligation is to ask. My obligation is to ask. If they're wrong, they're rewarded once. Mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Jalal al-Mahalli clarified, and I believe this is in his hashia on Jama' Jawami', that the sound taqlid is only for the opinion of the independent jurist, whether alive or deceased, directly if the questioner receives the answer from that jurist, or indirectly, if the questioner, for example, reads it, I added this online, or learns it from someone else, like this mufti said this mufti said that, the scholar said that. They say, bi wasita aw bi ghayri wasita. This approach, which is the approach of most, if not all, Sunni jurists deserves more consideration than Shoukani's restrictive definition that then he tries to apply in a place where it doesn't fit. Since the definition of the majority aligns with and embraces and expands to the different fields of jurisprudence and their application. In conclusion, he says, regarding the rulings of Sharia and those who can share those rulings, we find people divided into three categories. Number one, those who are not trained. They don't know what is the mawdu', the mahmul. Talk about basic terminology related to fatwa. They have no idea what you're talking about. Natija, al-kubra, wa-sughra, no idea what you're talking about. It's not a problem, but they don't know. They should know. They should stay in their lane. Number two, those who can derive rulings directly from their sources through ijtihad. We make taqlid, like Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmed, Imam Ja'far. Number two, those who can't. So the first and the third, we're not allowed to make taqlid of. That aligns with Shoukani. The second, we're obligated to make taqlid of them if we have no knowledge. He applies that definition, which is taqlid madmum, muharram, to taqlid, which is fard. And that's where this problem begins to start. So he says, as regards to the one and three, they are the imitators of the muqallids, not blind following. Blind following aligns with Sayyidina Imam Shoukani's definition. Bila hujja, as blind following. But the translation that we should have of taqlid, mahmud, is what? Emulating those scholars, following those scholars. He says, as for you know, this discussion, how is the imitator commanded to follow the opinions of the imams and adhere to them, right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not sanctioned this, and we find the salaf doing this, and the salaf al-salih doing this, and the tabi'een, and the tabi'een, and those who follow them, until now. Because the mathahib are the explanation of the legal intent of religious texts, just like tafsir is the explanation of the meanings and intent of the Quran. That's something that people don't understand. Each of the famous Islamic sciences, fiqh, aqidah, and purification of the soul, tazkiyah, all of them in their normative orthodox locations are explanations of certain components of Islam found in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu salam. Iman, theology. So the books of theology, no matter what Sunni madhab you follow in theology, Maturidi, Ash'ari, Athari, no problem. They are all a representation of scholarly attempts and successes, if you will, at times, and sometimes they got it wrong, to understand the theological intent of the sacred text. Number two, fiqh are scholarly attempts to convey to us the meanings of the legal verses of Quran. We talked about 500, and the legal intent of hadith, around 5,000 to 7,000, I heard from Sheikh Muhammad Hassan. Then tazkiyah as a science is meant to carry for us the normative balanced understanding of what it means to live a life of ihsan for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this first session, what did we talk about? We talked about Imam Shoukani being very much in the contemporary era, the architect of this idea that taqlid of the qualified is an affront, as he says, to Islam. We noted that the problem is that doesn't align with the historical record. Number two, he uses the definition of taqlid, which is prohibited, and applies it to the definition of taqlid within the Sunni normative thought, which is obligatory. The taqlid of someone who doesn't know of the scholars. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Next time we're going to talk about where did this idea come from, specifically from Imam Shoukani, that following scholars in obligatory taqlid is equivalent to what the Jews and Christians did with their rabbis and their priests. أَرْبَابًا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. And why that is a problematic application, once again, where Imam Shoukani is restricting something that shouldn't be restricted and expanding something that, according to Ulum al-Quran, should not be expanded on, according to Ahl Sunnah. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.